history is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you guys. The material on this program may strike some viewers as vulgar, offensive, lecherous, and/or serious. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 17. The views and opinions expressed by the After 7 panel are those of the individual panelists and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Black Reality Think Tank. Any content provided by our panel or our guests are theirs alone and not intended to be slander any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. Thank you guys for listening.
All right. And for tonight, hello, everyone. Welcome to the After 7 show. And for, we're going to be highlighting Ruby Dee. Born Ruby Ann Wallace on October 27, 1922 in Cleveland, Ohio, Ruby Dee was an African-American actress, poet, playwright, screenwriter, journalist, and civil rights activist. My girl did it all, okay? She was best known for role as Ruth Younger in the stage and film versions of A Raisin in the Sun. She was raised in Harlem, New York, and graduated from Hunter College with a degree in Romance Languages in 1945. Dee joined the American Negro Theater as an apprentice, working with Sidney Poitier, Terry Belafonte, and Hill. She made several appearances on Broadway and received national recognition for her role in the 1950 film, The Jackie Robinson Story. She became the first Black actress to portray a lead role in the American Shakespeare Festival in 1965 and was nominated for 8 Emmy Awards, winning once for her role in the 1990 TV Day. Her acting career with Mia over a span of 8 decades, including several roles in TV and film, such as Peyton Place, Roots, Do the Right Thing, and Jungle Fever. She was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress and won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Female Actor in a Supporting Role for her performance as Mama Lucas in American Gangster. She frequently performed alongside her husband, Auntie Davis, who she met in 1946, starring Robert Audrey's Broadway play, Jazz. Not only did they perform together, but they wrote an autobiography in which they discussed their political activism and their decision to have an open marriage, stating that it occurred to them in observation that it wasn't extramarital sex that destroyed marriages, but the lies and deception that accompanied it. So they decided to give each other that freedom as long as they were honest and private and didn't expose their family to scandal or disease. The couple were well-known civil rights activists in the civil rights movement, and Dee was a member of the Congress of Racial Equality, the NAACP, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. She emceed the marching for jobs and freedom, and Davis were both personal friends of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. In 2005, Dee was awarded with late husband at that time, the Lifetime Achievement Award presented by the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. She was inducted into the New Rochelle Walk of Fame, the Westchester County of Women's Hall of Fame, and received an honorary Doctor of Fine Arts degree from Princeton University. Following her death in 2014, in a statement from Gil Robertson of the African American Critics Association, he said, "The members of the African American Film Critics Association are at the loss of actress and humanitarian Ruby Dee. Throughout her 7-decade career, Dee embraced different creative platforms with her various interpretations of Black womanhood and also her gift, the champion for human rights. Her strength, courage, and beauty will be greatly missed. Ruby Dee was cremated, and her ashes are held in the same urn as that of her late husband, Ossie Davis, with the inscription, 'In this thing together.' So tonight we salute and remember a legend, Ruby Dee." And with that, we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to kick it over to Shannon.
Thank you, Maya Marie. That was an amazing, oh my God, I didn't know Ruby Dee was involved in an open relationship. And that's a perfect person to do an ancestral profile on because, of course, today's topic is open relationships. But before Absolutely. We get into like our topic, our show topic, I do want to address some feedback that I received from our show, for our show. I kind of happened to, you know, catch the tail end of a sister radio show broadcast. And in that broadcast, I overheard discussions about our panel. And I don't want to paraphrase, and I'm going to because I don't know the exact words that were used, but pretty much I was told that us ladies on the panel don't deserve to have a platform because we don't personally know ourselves, or we don't know ourselves. So I want to be respectful as possible, but also, you know, talk about some talking points on what I heard. You know, first and foremost, we've only had a total of 3 shows. And within that 3 shows, after we remove all the advertisements and Dr. Rogers and our panelists speak, our guest panelists speak, I think we probably get a good 30 minutes, but I'm going to give it an hour and 12 minutes that, you know, each of us have probably given or gave this show to talk about. And I don't even think we have the opportunity to talk about who we are because we focus on the issues of our topic. So you don't really get to know who each and one of us are as individuals. I must say that, you know, this panel, and I did touch base on it last week, we are some dynamic women. You know, you have women who have degrees under their belt. You have women who have been in radio. You have such a variety, a diverse panel. And to sit here and say that we don't know ourselves, you have activists, you have teachers, you have mentors, you have mentees. We sit and we wear so many different hats. And I felt that it was unfortunate that, you know, someone that I admired, someone that I would look to for counsel would say something. And I don't want to get too much into the topic, you know, or too much into that, because I would love to address this maybe on our platform or her platform to get some more clarification as to why this sister felt that we didn't know ourselves. I think that here at the Black Reality Think Tank and After 7 and Time for an Awakening, we use our platforms to give, you know, different viewpoints, to do what is desperately needed in the Black community, which is promote paradigm shifts. You know, the same old way of thinking has not helped our people. And there's a time and an opportunity for us to listen to one another, for us to hear one another. Even if we don't agree, we should be able to come to the table and work together. And I thought that's what this platform was doing. And I don't want to get, you know, too much into the conversation and, you know, and go off topic, because, of course, you know, we are bringing up a very controversial topic, which is open relationships. You know, our topics are developed based on issues that impact us as millennials. You know, back in the day, I'm pretty sure everybody wasn't, you know, open with their relationships. Obviously, Ruby Dee was, but it wasn't open as it is now. So I want to give you guys just a brief moment, because we do have time to just, you know, did any of you ladies on our panel want to say anything or touch base on anything with the information that I shared about the feedback that we received from the show? Davey?
Yeah, I do. I'm not aware of the actual conversation. Well, I'm aware, but I'm not, I don't have much detail as to exactly what was said. But I agree with you. I would love to, you know, merge with that group of ladies or lady on her platform or ours, whichever, to kind of explain who we are, or, you know, why that was even said. I'm very in touch with myself, and I believe you all are as well. And I'm really respectful when I speak. So I would love to be enlightened as to why that word, the feedback that we're getting.
You know, and I honestly have to say, Tavy, you are one of the most respectful women that I know. I text Tavy, and Tavy, if I text her and go right into a topic, she'll stop me and say, good morning. You know what I'm saying? And she's so hospitable. Like, she respects her elders. Like, this woman is, you know, one of the most respectful women I know. And the same goes for Maya Marie and Lady V. Like, we are very respectful towards our elders. So for something like that to be said, and we don't know ourselves, it kind of, you know, took me back. But thank you for your feedback, Tavy. Maya or Lady V, do you, either one of you guys have anything to say about that?
I agree with what both of you ladies said, and I agree wholeheartedly in everything that it feels like it was disheartening for, you know, like you said, someone to listen to our show. And we, like you said, we haven't had that many shows. We're just getting started, and we're tackling issues and topics that affect our generation. So these are things that interest us. These are the things that we're seeing. These are the things that we're hearing. And we haven't had the opportunity yet to really dig into who each of us are. So I think a statement like that was made prematurely. And I think that, you know, if we have the opportunity, I would love to sit down and have a round table or a discussion about who we are, what we're trying to do, and where we see this going, because it's something exciting that, you know, not a lot of people are doing, and I think it's needed.
I love the way you said prematurely. I love that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, you and Tavy. Lady V, do you have any input or any feedback, or do you want to respond to that comment? Because I know we've been doing this. We've been in the trenches, and this is one of the reasons that pretty much, I want to say, the feedback from our elders, you know, it was one of the reasons that we stopped doing radio a couple of years ago, or, you know, back in the day. Did you want to respond, or did you want to comment on that?
You guys have pretty much touched on everything, only because I felt like, don't judge us, don't prejudge us, don't be prejudiced. You haven't met us, you haven't talked to us, you haven't even given us a chance, like you said, or all of us have said. We've only had several shows, so to base everything based off of that, when we really don't get into our personal lives just because we're trying to bring forth all the taboos that's around and bring those to the forefront first. So I just feel like, give us a chance. If you really want to sit down and have a conversation, then let's do that, just to get to know us.
Thank you so much for that. And I completely agree. So we have pretty much the same viewpoint. You know, we would love a round table with the sister. I would love possible mentorship opportunities. If you feel that I'm doing something wrong, sister, help me, guide me, but don't talk about me. Don't talk down on me, because that's not love. That's not out of love. And then also, you know, let's get into this topic. You know, I don't want to harp on this situation too much longer, because we do have a dynamic topic to discuss. It's something that's new to most of us on the panel. We don't live this lifestyle. We don't know anything about this lifestyle. So we do have a dynamic guest who's going to be explaining everything to us, the different levels to open relationships. But before we do that, we do want to have some fun, because there's a need to get to know the After Seven ladies. Let's play a game. What do you think, Tavy?
I think that would be great.
Okay. So I don't know how open we're going to be on this show, but I know, right? Oh, my God. I know. It's funny. But I can start off. We can go over. Around, do a round table and just discuss the topic. Does anybody know anything about open relationships? Have you guys partook in an open relationship? Can we share some feedback with our guests, everyone? And who came up with this topic? Tavy, was it you or was it someone else?
No, it wasn't me this time.
It wasn't you this time, not this time.
I think it was me.
It was you.
Unfortunately.
Oh, my God, Lady V. Okay, so tell us why you came up with this topic, and then also answer those questions that we threw out there for you.
So I have never willingly, knowingly been in an open relationship at all. I'm very stingy and selfish. I would rather and prefer to be with one person only because I know my love language, and I'm very selfish when it comes to it, so therefore I can't afford to have more than one person to try to show all this love and affection to. Secondly, because it's just so, it's all in the tabloids, Jada Pinkett and Will Smith, and then you have other people who willingly will say that they have had open relationships, or they give out hall passes in their marriages and in their commitment or their committed relationship. And I'm just, my other half literally asked me one time for a hall pass, and I was just like, this better be a joke. So it's just like, is that just something that people are willing to do? Is it to save their relationship? Do they like to be curious? Do they like to be that open that they do date other people? Or, and then I'm finding out with this polyamory, it's not just even sexual. It can just be, you know, an intimate relationship with someone, you know, mentally. So it'd be interesting to figure out what open relationship really truly means, I suppose.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you on that. And like yourself, I've never knowingly been in an open relationship. It was closed on my end, but apparently on the other end, it was open. But we ain't going to talk about that. That's another show. But Maya, Maya Marie, do you want to elaborate? Do you want to answer those questions and talk about, you know, yay or nay to open relationships?
Well, I've never been in an open relationship. I've heard about them. I've heard different viewpoints about them. And, like Lady V was saying, that there are several different levels to these open relationships and different types of open relationships. So I've never been in one, never really wanted to be in one. But I believe it's an interesting topic because there are couples who believe in this. You know, I've had conversations with people who are like, you know, we live in a society where it's tradition to be with one person, but in other cultures, it's okay. So, you know, I think it's something that's worth being discussed, especially with, you know, in the wake of the entanglement that we've been hearing about with Jada and Will. So I think it's an interesting topic to talk about. So I'm here to learn and, you know, find out what it's all about.
Absolutely. And then I also want to uplift the fact that Lady V came up with this topic almost a month ago. So before Will and Jada had their entanglement situation, we were already in the works of talking about doing a show around open relationships because, like we said, these are issues that impact us as millennials. So, Miss Tavy, you up?
I have not knowingly been in an open relationship. However, I believe that majority of women end up in open relationships. Just being that, well, I don't want to say just women, but I ain't going to say that, sorry. But women end up that way because the men aren't honest right away. And I'll save my question for Mr. X later. But men aren't honest at the beginning, so you kind of find yourself in an open relationship at times. But that's my take on that. But I'll ask him more as to why that happened.
Okay, all right. So who's excited about this conversation? Phoebe, are you excited about this conversation?
I don't know if it's excitement.
I'm excited and I'm curious because, like I said earlier, there's so many levels and different types. Like, you know, people think, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, polyamory, isn't that polygamy? It's not the same thing. So it's like, I'm gonna learn something new today. I love learning different things. I would love to know what this whole lifestyle is. I'm not trying to be this lifestyle, but I just want to know what it is.
But would you all agree that it happens on a regular basis? Like, you find yourself in an open relationship because the other person isn't being honest? And then
is it really an open relationship if it's just open on one end?
I would say yes. I mean,
it's for you to open at that point. If they let you know what they're doing, stay with them. It's time for you to open that door, right?
Yeah, but then is it in a relationship at that point?
I mean, that deserves a conversation, and then, you know, we say, how are we going to move forward? Are we going to open both ends, or, you know, am I going to walk away? But most don't walk away. It's not that you gave, like, consent to being involved in this open relationship, but if you're condoning it, wouldn't that be the same thing? if you didn't walk away, but you were well aware that there was someone else.
Oh, yeah. I believe if you're aware of it and you stay, I mean, it's one thing for you to be in a relationship and your partner is cheating on you. And then, you know, because you're not aware of it. You're thinking that you're in a monogamous relationship with one person. But then
I'm saying,
if
you
find out
about
it and you don't
leave.
To stay,
what
so
if
I
you are made aware, don't leave.
So I guess Tavy is saying, like, hey, you got cheated on like 50 different times and you still with the same dude.
Right. Then you're made aware. Then you don't leave. Or if this is now an open relationship because you know.
Technically.
Yeah, if you stay. Yeah, absolutely.
But,
you weren't consenting.
But then that means I get to play too. I feel like if you're playing, I get to play. But at that moment, I guess for me, I feel like, because like when I said, like me and my other half, we joked about the whole hall pass thing. And he was just like, I just want to know, how would you feel? And I'm like, I just kind of felt like he was asking to die that day. Because I'm just like, are we really going to talk about this? No, you're not. You don't get no hall pass. If you want a hall pass, just leave me alone. Period. Just leave me alone. Because we're not about to do this at all. Because I'm not about to hall pass on you. I don't need a hall pass. Period. I don't need a hall pass.
So I'm like one of the people that get cheated on. Well, I don't want to say get cheated on. I got cheated on and I stayed and he continued to cheat. But you know what I'm saying? I never cheated. You know, like I don't think I've ever cheated on anybody, you know? So it takes a lot for me to leave. But dang, I wish I would have known, like, hey, you got permission to just do use this a long time ago. I'm just kidding, y'all.
That's
I'm
just kidding. The conversation.
You have permission to do you?
I mean, I'm just kidding. I'm just going off of what Tavy said. She said basically.
it's a fact. That, I mean, I believe that most people are in open relationships. However, it might be closed on one end, so you say. But it's open. Just because you decided not to do something and this other person is. I mean, I don't know what we would call that. But you know about it. So.
But you know what? When I brought that up, like and when I was in my relationship, when I brought it up, like, hey, we could just, you know, see other people. We together. He didn't want that. You know, some guys, you got those guys or whatever that want to cheat on the low, but they don't want, you know what I'm saying, their wives or their girlfriends or the people that they're with to actually stay or to be open. They want them to be closed while they're open on one end. But do we have like a general, I want to say, definition for what consists of an open relationship? Because we're talking about two different things. We're talking about one-sided open relationships, and then we're talking about Ruby D, who had an open relationship and they have rules. Maya, what were some of those rules that they had? I heard no disease.
Right. So basically with them, it was just that they needed to be discreet and they needed to be honest and be private and make sure that there was no scandal. Of course, I guess that's why they wanted to be private and discreet. You know, they didn't want any scandal attached or any disease, you know. And they basically, when I was reading and doing research, they said that it was like this at one point in their marriage for a period of time. And then later they decided, you know, when diseases like AIDS and herpes and, you know, other STI came about, they decided they didn't want to do it anymore. But before all of those had happened or surfaced, they were okay with it as long as they were honest and private about it.
Okay. So do we have like a specific definition of like what consists of an open relationship, like across board? Like what are the bullet points? I know for one, it has to be open communication, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Anybody else?
I feel like communication would have to be like the number one. But also to me, if we're going to have an open relationship, I feel like both of us have to be on the same accord. Like if I'm open, you should be open too. Like I don't want to feel as if that person is, they feel like they're trapped because they're not doing anything. Like you're a loyal person, you're a faithful person. So therefore you're not going to do anything just because you're loyal and faithful to one person. At that point, then we need to come back to the table and talk about it some more. Cause maybe we don't need to do an open relationship. Cause to me, right. That's just not fair.
So in other words.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just
no, you go
I
ahead.
Because I pulled up the I just wanted to see what the actual definition of it is. So when I put it in the system, it tells me an open relationship, also known as non-exclusive relationship, is an intimate relationship that is sexually non-monogamous.
So can you be married or committed in a relationship, or is it just for married people? Because I think that some people only deem an open relationship between married people, but you can be single, committed in an open relationship, right?
Well, yeah, it says here open relationships include any type of romantic relationship, dating or marriage that is open. Open meaning there are one or more parties that they both have permission to be romantically or sexually involved with people outside of the relationship. So in order for it to be an open relationship, both parties would have to have given each other permission to be romantically or sexually involved with people outside of the relationship.
Okay.
I ain't going.
You ain't going?
I ain't going. I mean, I was married. So, I mean, on a personal aspect, I was married. And I can personally say, I ain't going. We're not doing this. No. We married. We committed to each other till death do us part, sickness and health. We're not bringing in no third wheel, fourth wheel, emotional support. We good. You better go to therapy and sit on this couch with me and figure this out.
Okay, so Veronica, even with that, if your husband brought it to you, I don't know if he was your husband at that time, but if he brought the idea to you, how did that make you feel after that, that he even had the thought?
When he brought it to me, we were not married, but we were still together. So for me, it was still like, because he was joking, at first I took it serious, and I was just like, well, why? Because I feel like if you want a hall pass, then there's something that I'm slacking in, and I need to know what am I slacking in that you feel like you need a hall pass. Because that's what I always felt a hall pass was. It was one of those, you not doing something right, and I need to get it from somebody else type of things. And I mean, maybe Mr. X can correct me if I'm wrong and let me know if that's what that hall pass is, but that's how I took it.
Well, I'm just saying from experience, I don't think that it's anything that has to do with a woman. I don't think it's what a woman lacks. It's all about that man. And from what I'm hearing from the men that I've interviewed about this topic is one woman isn't enough. You know, and I know we brought that topic or that question up last week when we talked about dating. But what do you guys think about that? You know, like with that phrase, one woman is not enough.
I feel like that man is being greedy. He has some issues. Like maybe he has like a sex addiction. Cause to tell me that I'm not enough and I do everything over and above for you, whether I'm cooking, cleaning, sexing you down, you know, every other night, if not two, three times a day, you cannot sit and tell me that I'm not enough. That means that you have some other inner issues that you need to figure out, because I feel like I'm all woman for you. And now it's just, this is you. It's not me. It's something about you.
Davey, what do you think about it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maya.
Nope, I was just going to say I'm sorry. I have a friend of mine, and we have conversations like this. And he's a guy, and from his point, he was just saying that it's in a man's nature to be with more than one woman. It's in his DNA. And that it's not natural for a man to be with his woman. What do you guys think about that?
You know what? I'm going to bypass us, and I'm going to go straight to Dr. Rogers. Dr. Rogers, I know you don't want to be in this conversation.
Yeah,
our panel guest is a little bit late, so we're going to ask you.
Well, I tell you, this is deep. Well, I guess, you know, the institute, I guess, you know, from a critical thinking perspective, if you're married and you have made the commitment to be married, I think it really gets into the basis of that. That institution is usually one that's sacred and protected by each other. And obviously, if you introduce somebody else into that sanctity system, or called marriage, then somehow or the other I can't differentiate that you have violated that sanctity. I was thinking about something when you all were talking. There is a situation that I remember back in the earlier years that was brought up like this. If, for instance, if there was a person who had a handicap and they were unable to sexually please their partner, whether it was male or female, that many times with counseling and guidance from somebody that was professional in that perspective, things would be arranged in order for that other partner who doesn't have the handicap to engage in something that would allow them to be pleased and at the same time the other person understand that. Now, I've heard that from a sexologist and a friend who was into a sexual therapy, and they talked about that, and it requires a lot of work, though, to get to that point. And obviously both individuals have to agree, and the other partner who has the disability has to understand, but their mate does have a need, you know, because you're human, and sex is a need that everybody as human beings have a desire for. So I've heard that, but I'm having trouble trying to figure out why two healthy people who don't have that challenge would need to do that. I would not have done it during the years that I was married. That's out. That's totally out. And not to say that my desires might not have been sometimes when you see somebody attractive and you look at them, but still, my wife was the center of my focus, and I did not desire to move outside of that realm, and for a lot of reasons.
So there are some good men still out there, huh, Dr. Rogers?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, so I don't know. I guess maybe could you all answer that for me? Why would a person have a need to do that outside of a handicap situation where maybe they can't have sex or something is wrong and the other mate needs to have it, and so, you know, they agree to do some kind of a thing like that? Why else would you have it if it's two healthy people married to enjoy each other? Why would they need to do that?
So, Dr. Rogers, I'm going to pause that question just for a minute because I think our guest has come on.
Okay.
I have it's Tanya Evers. I have you listed as Tanya Evers. Hello? Okay. Well, I guess not. So we can answer that question. Dr. Rogers, what I would say is, from what I heard in the research that I've done, I've heard that there are so many different reasons. From a woman's perspective, her male partner is not satisfying her enough. You know, she married into a relationship and she's a bisexual woman and she desires the touch of a woman. Or her male is not meeting the requirements, you know, physically that she needs in order for her to be sexually pleased. So those are some of the reasons that I've heard. Lady V, Maya, or anybody else, you guys want to chime in on that? Nobody?
I mean, I don't know why one would choose to be in an open relationship necessarily.
Right.
I think a lot of people are afraid of commitment. So they play games like that, the open relationship games, because they kind of feel like I won't get hurt if I have so many options. But I think that has to do with commitment.
I feel like some people, they're lacking something, or they're looking for something else. That one person is not completing them. Like, I have heard people say that, well, this person just fulfills me intellectually, and this person fulfills me sexually. I have heard those before and heard people say that. And I've never experienced it myself, but I can see as to why people would. But then I just feel like then that person isn't for you. You need to find a person that gives you all of that in some, so they do feel, you know, your whole love bubble, so you don't feel like you're being neglected.
I think it's slim pickings there, though. So it's kind of like, let me take some from here, a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and I'm going to make my own, you know, person, my own man, my own woman.
You're going to build a person, huh?
I'm going to build it with all the characteristics of these different people. I'm not in an open relationship. I don't know, but.
You know, I listened to
sounds all right.
I listened to Spike Lee do an interview once on the movie She's Gotta Have It. And he was striking at that when he did that movie. He was looking at it from the female perspective of things. But then at the same time, she wasn't married either. And she said she wanted other men in her lives, but she wanted each one to be knowledgeable of what they were doing, of what she was doing. So,
Hello?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Well, we were listening to you give, you know, your feedback on She's Gotta Have It show.
Oh, yeah,
which is,
right. And, yeah, that was the reason he said that's what he was striking at in doing that movie.
Oh, my God. Okay.
From a female perspective, you know, because that's usually done from the male perspective.
Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm enjoying the conversation. I know it's an age-old, century-old conversation about infidelity and commitment, but I've listened to women from other countries, and I heard one very interesting. One lady told me, she says, you know, my husband is a high-profile person, and we've made an agreement. Now, she came from an African country, and she said, I know he loves me. He provides if he chooses to take on a second wife. I understand that. She said, this is the way that we were born. Now, of course, she was raised back in the, she's an older woman, so she was raised back in the 40s and that. And so, of course, she didn't like it. No one likes anyone moving in on their territory, but that was her way of understanding. And then I read about a tribe also in Africa that if the man cannot perform sexually or impregnate the woman, then that woman can leave and she can go and marry another, she can have another husband, she can choose a second husband to become impregnated, or if she just so desires. So I think it's a lot. Nobody wants, you know, when the heart is involved and sex is, nobody wants to have anybody move on their territory. But I understand, like in France, it's quite natural for them to have a lover. I mean, it's no big deal for the man and the woman to have a side piece called their lover. And
Sister, what's your name? We want to know your name. You didn't introduce yourself. What's your name? You can give us a code name or something. Because I need to know what tribe that is in Africa.
Oh, I'll have to look it up. I read it several years ago. My name is Tita, but I'm just saying, you know, in America, we don't like it, but there are people who are swingers. Now, I had a student in one of my class, she was an older woman, and she told me that the way she learned her husband was a virgin, the way they learned about sex was,
yeah, I think you got some interference on. Yeah, I think you have some interference on your end. We're gonna, see if we can get that taken care of. Sorry about that, Dr. Rogers. Did you have anything to add to that? You brought up something historical from Africa.
Yeah, and I know that, in the African tradition, from the things that I've read. The system of polygamy was not done based on sexual desires and things like that. It was done to, as the sister said, strengthen the communal bonds that were based on children being raised properly and being done in certain ways. So a person, a male who had the financial means, would strengthen his family with many women who would come in and take on different roles and responsibilities, as they built that communal society. See, that's what it thinks. It's based on a communal society. And that's why polygamy wouldn't work where there's a system like ours. It's based on community. The whole family is together. They're all one. And yes, there was a sexual relationship between the women and the men, but it was for the production of children. Because when a woman is pregnant, she's pregnant for 9 months, and no more reproduction can be done in those 9 months. Where if there are other women who are part of that system, then they can be impregnated as well as they continue to build that communal structure. And I think you got to look at it back, and you got to look at it from the time frame that you're talking about. I think that's important to understand all of it together. So when you start hearing people talk about polygamy today, now that's a whole different thing. That's a whole other ballgame.
Okay. Well, Dr. Rogers, our guest has arrived. Mr. X, how are you today? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Hello, I'm doing fine, thanks. And yourself?
Okay, so you heard the tail end of the conversation. We've been talking about open relationships, and I know you explained to us that it's levels to open relationships. Do you have a moment to just explain the different levels and, you know, just give us, enlighten us on open relationships and your lifestyle?
Well, open relationship is not something that I am in favor of. Open relationship is basically what you guys stated, because I've actually been on the phone for some time now. So, and you are right. An open relationship is basically a couple that give one another, permission to see other people. The reason why I don't think that's a good idea is because, I mean, it can create, you know, some uneasiness, some distrust, ruffle some feathers probably, because, you know, they're not all, you're not doing it in front of that person. You know, it's all, you know, done, you know, behind their back, if you will. It's almost like you're dating someone else, you know, outside of your relationship. So that's the open relationship. And then you have the swingers lifestyle, whereas there's no feeling shared with other people at all. It's basically you as a couple, you two, share yourself sexually with other couples. And some couples do it with other singles, you know, but it's no feelings involved. It's all with these guidelines, of course, when indulging. And then you have the polyamory relationship, where that's just like the swingers lifestyle, except there's feelings involved. And that's basically you're involved in a relationship, equally, if you will. So let's say myself, my wife, and another couple are in a polyamory relationship. What that means is there's no big I's and little U's. I love this other woman just as much as I love my wife. The other guy loves his wife just as much as he loves my wife. The two women love each other just the same. And then the men, of course, just pretty much are there to take care of and look out for and be. It's almost like a relationship with more than one person, because it is kind of difficult to find that one person that truly satisfy you wholeheartedly, if you will, physically. So, and even mentally, emotionally, you know. So when you have, you know, some other individuals there that can appease these other appetites you might have, you know, it just makes life a little bit easier, if you will. But polyamory is definitely something that takes some time and a great deal of understanding. Like Dr. Rogers stated earlier, I totally understand. I mean, the polygamy thing, yes, that he's definitely correct when he say that. The only thing I wanted to add with the polygamy, the reason why he did it, because there is a shortage, and there was a shortage in men then, and there's a shortage in men now. Think about it. If every single man was with one woman, there would be so many women out here that that wouldn't have a man to choose from. So I think, you know, just like one of you guys said, you know, speaking to your male friend where he said that he don't feel that, you know, men was meant to have one woman. I agree to that to a certain extent as well. Because one, there's just not enough men to go around. It's just not enough. But I think that, you know, you shouldn't be doing anything behind your mate's back. That's something I won't do. You know, do anything that my mate does not know about. Either she's not right there with me doing it.
Okay, so you said a couple of things. One of the things that stuck out is appease my appetite. Like, what is, I guess, a reason that someone would want to indulge in this type of lifestyle? I mean, I know you hit on a couple of points, but tell us about you. Tell us about why you decided to live this type of lifestyle and what lifestyle, I guess, level are you in?
Well, I mean, I've been in the lifestyle for 18 years, and that's a swingers lifestyle. I've been in it so long that I can totally be in a polyamory relationship, although I'm not. But so I would say that I am in a swingers relationship, and I was introduced to it 18 years ago. My girlfriend at the time and I were introduced to it by her girlfriend and her girlfriend's husband, and they had been in a lifestyle at that time probably 7 or 8 years or whatever, very affluent couple. And they introduced us to the lifestyle, and I just like the openness, the honesty, the transparency. The sex was secondary, you know. Maybe initially the sex, you know, was probably, you know, first, but after experiencing it for some time, you really get to see how many open, honest, transparent people that is truly enjoying them lives and their lives. And I just was able to be totally me. She was able to be totally her. We shared so much. Even after the first time we went to the swingers club, it was just an exhilarating, you know, experience that was far greater than sex could ever be.
Okay. So I know when we spoke, I want to say earlier in the week, we talked about the different percentages of time. Like, how often do people actually indulge in a sex act when they're in these places?
Well, it depends. I mean, some people, you know, every time. Some people, you know, not so often. I could think of probably over 50 plus times that I've been to a swingers club and didn't do anything sexual and had an amazing time, because it's not about that. It's like going to a regular club, if you will, you know, a regular lounge. You know, it's just later in the evening, you know, you might see somebody naked, you might see somebody have sex, you know. You know, it's totally you don't feel pressured at all, no pressure environment. You know, your drinks, you know, no drugs, no over drinking. Actually, the clubs that I've been privy to attend all across the United States and abroad have been 90% married couples, and the other 10% was long-term relationship couples, pretty affluent individuals that just wanted to enjoy life, enjoy, you know, their mate, you know. And I mean, so many reasons why one would get in that lifestyle, but it's not all about sex. But, you know, now you have a lot of urbanites is now getting into the lifestyle where, you know, you got a lot of singles. I've never been, in 18 years, I may have been to a singles type swingers party once, maybe twice, in 18 years, you know, because it's not my thing, you know. The host, I like the more mature, more respectable, type parties where you have, committed, you know, individuals going there, because the respect level is just different. You know, the whole aura of the night, you know, it's just an amazing experience, in my opinion.
Okay, so I know one of the things that we talked about also is the misconceptions of the lifestyle. You know, like most people like myself who's never, ever, you know, been in that type of environment, I think that it's just like a big old orgy, you know. But I know you describe them as having different rules and different rooms. Can you like enlighten us on what it looks like, or, you know, just, you know, a day in the room or in a lifestyle party?
Okay, well, I will say one of the biggest misconception that people have is that guys mess with guys. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I've been in a lifestyle 18 years, and I've never, ever been to a lifestyle club where a guy can come by himself. A woman can come by herself, because you got a lot of married couples that actually have girlfriends. So you have a woman that can come by herself, but a man can't come by himself. And it's for many reasons. You know, there's a lot of men that just don't have the coof, if you will. You know, they'd be around, you know, a lot of people having sex or naked, or you know, women, and just can't, you know, control themselves. And you tend to get a lot of pushy, you know, guys when they're by themselves, when they're single. So that's one of the biggest misconceptions. I've never seen a guy touch another guy in decent. I've never indulged in any kind of way with a guy in any way, shape, or form. I think that was just a huge misconception. The other thing is that a guy can't possibly love his wife and allow her to have sex with another guy. Like, that's ridiculous. Actually, I mean, it's more turn on, I think, you know, to see your mate have sex with another person. But that, again, is when you know, reach that level of maturity. But the a night in a lifestyle club with the ones that I've been to, this particular place that I was a regular at, you had to be there by 10 o'clock. You had to call beforehand, either the day before or the day of, if they still had availability. The place could hold only 60 couples, so about 120 people. It's like somewhere like a mansion. You had to be there by 10, no in and out. When you get there at 10, everybody's pretty much downstairs. You know, the downstairs is set up like a nice little bar, if you will. You know, it's legal because you bring your own drink and you serve yourself. You know, but there's a dance floor there, there's a DJ, pub tables. The environment is so cool, you know. And then you walk through those doors, mind you, down the basement, but it definitely doesn't look like a basement. You're downstairs, and you go through those doors, and mind you, the house is built on a hill. So when you go out in the past the dance floor area, you've got a huge indoor swimming pool. Volleyball net there, you got hot tubs or whatever. So everybody's mingling for the first maybe 2 to 3 hours. You know, you have a host there getting everybody engaged, you know, with games, and it's always a theme every week. And it's only open every single Saturday, every first Friday of the month.
And oh, so you know the day. Okay.
Come 1 o'clock in the morning, people start to disperse. So when I say this first, they're going upstairs. So you go upstairs, you know, you have food there, you know, a nice layout of food. You have different rooms on that floor. Then the third floor, the top floors, then you have another set of rooms. You got a dream room, which has got, you know, drapes and just really sexy, you know, island-type decor. You got another room they call the library because they have bookshelves in their room. And that room might have just one bed, because you have some couples that are voyeurs. Some couples just like to go because they like being around the atmosphere like that, and then they might go in a room by themselves, and they close the door and have sex by themselves. If you see a door closed, the etiquette of a swinger club is, if you see a door closed, you can't open it. That means that couple or the couples that's in there want to just enjoy themselves. They don't want people watching or joining, so you're not to open the door. If you see the door open, then that means that they don't mind you coming in, looking, and you're still etiquette there in terms of you don't have another guy coming on to another guy's wife. That guy will talk to the guy, and vice versa as far as a woman would talk to the other woman to, you know, get invited in or whatever. It's very respectful. So at any rate, then you got an orgy room. The orgy room is where, you know, a lot of the experienced people go, because that room might can hold maybe 10 to 14 people in the bed. And still, it's respect there. You know, you say, you mind me touching? You mind me touching your girl? You mind me touching your wife? You know, so it's respect level there. So it's basically all physical. You're able to look at sex. It's like me, I look at sex totally as recreation. What makes sex special to me is the feelings I have for that person. And then when I'm doing it with my wife, it allowed me to, if you can watch your wife or watch your husband have sex with another person, what can't you share with that person? Basically, you're making your significant other out of your best friend. And it's been proven guys are more loyal to their best friend than they is to their own. Just a proven fact. So when you make your mate out of your best friend, my God, the bond there is just unbelievable. You know, and again, it's not for everybody. And I want to reiterate that. It's not for everybody. And you're talking to someone that has been raised in church my whole entire life. I believe in God. I mean, I'm more of a spiritual person more so than religious, you know, but it works for me. I mean, and it might not work for everybody. It's almost like reprogramming yourself. You know, I'm not so much of a traditional thinker. I'm not a traditional a married guy. I'm not, and that's the reason why I wanted to come on, really, to be honest with you, and just explain to everybody, or just tell them the different levels of it, because you're right, boy, whoever said that, you know, men are just wired different. Men are wired different. I mean, and I understand and respect what Dr. Rogers said in terms of, if I'm with my wife, I mean, I got, that's my everything. Why would I want to cheat on her? Why would I want to be with somebody else? I get that. But at the end of the day, it's almost like putting more windows in your house. And I just allow myself to add more windows in my house, if you will. The more things you experience in life, the more windows you got with people to throw stuff in, where you can look out of. And, I mean, I'm here now. So, I mean, I don't see any harm or no foul in it whatsoever. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. You know, I'm extremely open, extremely transparent. And that lifestyle is really has a lot to do with how open and honest and transparent I am now, that I'm able to compartmentalize sex. Now, my value for love is on a whole other level. My value for commitment, the way I look at trust, the way I look at loyalty and friends is on a whole other level now, because now I don't really, it is not muddled by sex, if that makes sense.
That certainly does. But we're going to go to a break really quick. Mr. X, we want you to stay on the line so you can give us more information. Dr. Rogers?
Running through your nigga house like the Tomb Raider. You gotta pass around, nigga, he a hot potato. I told him, eat it or get out, that's your ultimatum. But stop licking my pussy hard, that shit aggravating. He ain't mine, I just let him eat me out from time to time. Call it pussy booty tang, cause I got the running kind. He can't compare me to none of these bitches. I got that Beyonce, that dream girl, that list. Hey, freak, 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 nasty. Go a couple of rounds, see that dick up in the casket. I ain't wanna take the nigga from the edge he had been. You know I ain't come, boy, hit the head to ass me. Freak, 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 nasty. Dick on my hand, then I put it in his pants. I'm playing with that cock and make that motherfucker bam. And I walk and I talk like a pimp, cause I am. I live up front, say, tell my pussy, hey, come. Fancy top, ain't me headed number right. Stormy Daniels head from the head of state, hey. Tweety feet, make it clap on this face, hey. Freak, 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 nasty. Ain't gon' get no pussy, but he hoping that he do. Walking all over the niggas, so he buy me all my shoes. Quick, calling him a trick if he only buy your food, hey. Freak, 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 nasty. Ice on my neck, let it drip down my chest. Looking at this motherfucking money make me wet. Rich bitch, pussy only come for a check. My contact list look like the yellow pages. I do not say these niggas' names, I remember faces. And I ain't fucked you in a minute, why you still claim me? But if he ever hit this pussy, he gon' still stop me. And if you got a new bitch, why you still calling? And I look better than that hoe, that's why she made you block me. I like to show off of them haters talking bad about me. Trying hard to find a car, but you still watching. Freak, nasty motherfucker. Yeah. Kiss with the tongue. I don't wanna fuck a nigga if he ain't hung. He a lot of fun if he eat it night one. If he got a lot of funds, I'ma hit it like, money make me come. Tryna get me some. Looking at these numbers on my checks like, Versace hottie, Creole mommy, She gon' fucking run, but the stally get it up. Freak, 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 nasty. Go a couple of rounds on that dick up in the casket. I ain't wanna take the nigga from you, it just happened. You know I ain't come, boy, if you had to ask me. Freak, 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 nasty. Lick on my hand, then I put it in his pants. Playing with that cock and make that motherfucker bam. And I walk and I talk like a pimp, cause I am. Hey, pussy wet, diamonds on my neck. I'm a hot girl, so I make these niggas sweat. If you fucking with me, then you fucking with the best. If he say he a dog, I'ma treat him like a pet. Jimmy John neck, told him give it to me quick. Fucking love you like me, but nobody can't sweat. Bitch pussy, I can take you out of bed. Out of bed. Bitch pussy, only come for a check. Check. Freak, freak, freak nasty. Go up a couple rounds, get that dick up in the casket. Ay, 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 ay. Freak, 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 freak nasty.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Okay, we are back. Whew. I tell you one thing, I bet you I'll sleep good tonight. This is the Black Reality Think Tank, and we are listening to the After Seven ladies who are presenting some powerful information. The Black Reality Think Tank is a part of the Time for an Awakening Network. We are also a part of the Black Talk Radio Network here, and we are here every Thursday with the After Seven ladies, every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. There are other programs that are on our network as well. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, we have two programs. One is at 3 o'clock, 3 to 5. It's with the ladies, Black Ladies Talk, If You Want to Breathe. And that is also a very dynamic show with two young women, LaWanda Williams and Miss Leola Williams. They are psychotherapists, and they also talk about family and different kinds of aspects of family and economics and life, and children, education, and so forth. And then at 6 o'clock, we have another program called Let the Elders Speak. And that program is hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. And that program deals with many of the issues particular facing brothers. This week, they're going to talk about the killing of our sons and our men. And he has a very powerful guest, Dr. Bracey from Milwaukee, who is going to come on with him and talk about this very powerful subject as well. And then on Tuesday, we have the Black Reality Think Tank program hosted by myself. And that program airs from 7 to 9 Central Time. 7 to 9 Central Time. Also, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, there is a program on the Time for an Awakening Network called African Perspectives. And that program is hosted by Brother Oshiemi Adelabu, called African Perspectives. And it airs from 11 to 1 Eastern Time. 11 to 1 Eastern Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, called African Perspectives with Brother Oshiemi Adelabu. And then on Friday, from 8 to 10, we have Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, who are the developers of the Time for an Awakening Network. And their program airs both on Friday and on Sunday. Sunday, the program is from 7 to 10. That's all Eastern Time. They're broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so that's our lineup. All of our programs are archived. You can go to our website at www.timeforanawakening.com. www.timeforanawakening.com. Go into the search portal and pull down the Black Reality Think Tank, and all of our programs are posted there. And you can listen to any of the things that you may have missed, and even the program that you're hearing this afternoon will be ready and available for you on tomorrow. And you can listen to that and pass it on to those who may not have been able to hear it today from 6 to 8 o'clock. So, again, we thank all of you, our listening audience, for your support. We really appreciate you. We could not do what we do or be where we are if it wasn't for you. This is a call-in format also. So if you're enjoying this conversation tonight, if you're motivated by this discussion, as much as I am, I'm really motivated by this. It's amazing. This is why I wanted to have the young women, the millennial group, on, because they're brave. And I'll say to these young ladies, you're very brave. And it's the kind of energy that we need to fight change. And so you have to be open, be willing to talk, be willing to discuss things. And like as you were saying earlier, Sister Shaddy, it's hard for you to understand why people would criticize that. Well, people are going to always criticize. They criticize everybody. It doesn't matter. And whether you're doing the right thing, whether you're in church praying, they criticize them. And whether you're outside taking care of children, they get criticized. Everybody gets criticized. So don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the fight that you're fighting, because you're fighting a good fight. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate your boldness to bring this discussion to the format. I thank our guests for being open and brave as well. We need to talk about this. This is a part of holding families together. This program is about the politics, economics, uplift, and the liberation of African people. And if we can't get our families together, none of the other things will work. And this discussion tonight is definitely a part of that program. So I'm going to turn it back over to Shani. And Shani, I want to turn it over to you with a question that I want to ask, because, you know, it's just the way our people do, and our people are going to criticize everything that we do. Could you explain for us how the music, the song that I just played, I think is with Megan Thee Stallion. So I think that's her name, I believe, I'm not sure. But how that relates to the topic. And don't think I'm criticizing the music, because I'm not, because if you could hear some of the music in my day.
We've heard.
You were shriveled. You were shriveled, too.
We've heard.
Rough. But anyway, how does that relate to your subject tonight?
So we've played a lot of the songs from back in your day. And when we pick our songs, I love to, you know, pick a genre of songs or a tense of song, past, present, and future. You know, so the beginning song that we opened up with Super Freak, you know, and Meg Thee Stallion, when she's talking about being freak nasty. Each one of those songs has a common, you know, thread. And I believe that, you know, they're talking about the same thing, you know, a man's perspective and a female's perspective, but they're both talking about sex. You know, the delivery may be a little bit different. The beat may be a little bit catchier on one of the songs, but it's pretty much the same thing, Dr. Rogers.
Okay.
But yeah, we love to talk about topics or choose songs that relate to our topic. And in my opinion, you know, something like an open relationship is kind of freaky to me. It's kind of weird. Not freaky being bad. It's just freaky being different. Well, it's just freaky. It's different. It's not something that I'm used to or something that I've ever encountered. You know, I was in a one-ended open relationship, but we're not going to talk about that. But I want to talk to our guests, you know, get more information from him, you know, learn more from him. So, Mr. X, I want to open up the floor to you and have you continue to educate us. I know one of my sisters wanted to know something about entanglements. You know, my question would be, you said that there's like a lot of different people, you know, that you've encountered at these places. You know, have you had an entanglement with Jada Pickett? I mean, I'm just curious.
No, I am not. Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Okay, yes. I mean, no, I am not having an entanglement with Jada Pinkett. No, not at all. But, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, you've been hearing a lot of this, you know, talk about open relationships and swingers lifestyle and polyamory and the other things of such since this whole Will and Jada situation has come about. And I have my own thoughts or theory, if you will, on what happened with Will and Jada. Before I go to that, I mean, in a lot of the environments I have been in, a lot of the clubs or private parties I've been in, there have been that quality of people, if you will. You know, in terms of progressive individuals, married couples. So, but as far as Will and Jada, I think that when it came to August, I think that Will and Jada, I believe, have been in the lifestyle, meaning the swingers lifestyle, for many years. I believe that they have been in lifestyle for so long, they really had a polyamory aspect of it. Maybe Jada really was enjoying August and his touch, his, you know, how he was and will didn't really care because he know his wife ain't going nowhere. She had sex probably with a lot of the people. Mind you, this is just my theory. So Will was totally open to it. As you can see, in the beginning, when everything first broke, August did say he had Will's blessing. So that told me a lot right there. So, but then with Will and Jada, you know, they tried to kind of get their own definition of what he probably meant by saying he had Will's blessing. But I think that they were involved in a situation, and I think they just didn't let August. They didn't really keep. I think they didn't really think it would go as far as it did. August feelings started to really get entangled in that whole situation. And Jada's probably did as well, but Jada's not so much to the point that she was going to leave Will. And I think it reached the point where they were like, Will and Jada probably talked, had a sidebar like, I think it's time for us to cut things off with August because he's getting really, really, really involved. And they cut it off, but they didn't think it would kind of materialize into what it has today. And I just think that, you know, because it's just, if you really, somebody from my perspective, I'm looking at this whole thing totally different. You know, I just think that, you know, they just didn't keep it tight as they should have with August. That's the reason why I'm not a fan of threesomes, if you will. I think if a woman's husband or boyfriend asks her to do a threesome, she should in turn, you know, say, well, are you open to, you know, another guy having sex with me? Are we talking about, you know, a threesome with me, you, and another guy? Most times that dude gonna say, no, I'm going with another female. And then your answer should be, I mean, well, if you don't mind me doing the same thing that you're doing, then I'm cool with it or whatever, if that's what you want to do. But I just feel that when you have a threesome there, is you leaving yourself open. Same thing with the open relationship. You're leaving yourself open to your relationship getting muddled, if you will. The trust getting muddled. The transparent. It's just not good. You know, when you have another couple there that you guys are involved with, you know, that you can't really get, you know, feelings, if you will, tangled up in the situation because that woman, her husband is right there and that woman and that man's wife is right there, you know, if you will, you know, so it's not, I mean, everybody is accounting for, their feelings are accounting for. So it's a safer ground, if you will.
Okay. When you, I have a question. When you meet a woman, how and when do you disclose that you're involved with the swinger lifestyle?
Well, I think it takes, I mean, typically it takes a while, I mean, to even divulge that, you know, but typically on the first couple of dates, because you don't want to lead nobody on, but then you don't want to tell nobody your business so they can, you know, use it against you and things of that nature, you know, so it's really a touchy situation, if you will. But I think most times, you know, especially if somebody's been in lifestyle for a while, like myself, you can kind of tell by the energy you get from the female, you know, or, you know, certain other questions you might throw at her, and by her response, you can kind of tell how open she is or how non-judgmental she might be. You know, so you can kind of answer your own question, you know, just by, you know, just a casual conversation.
Just hanging out and seeing what she's about, what she really wants, what her end game, you know, how she wants to go about relationships.
Yeah, in so many words, yeah.
And do you believe that swinger couples last longer than other couples?
Hands down. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Maybe in Dr. Rogers' era, it would be a little different. I'm just assuming that Dr. Rogers is in his early 60s to late 60s. I'm assuming, or maybe even in the early 70s. And Dr. Rogers, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just going by, yeah, you know, your... But go ahead. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 75.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so I only said that because, to me, nowadays, it is way more out there, that way more distractions. if you will. Not saying it wasn't distraction, you know, in the 40s, 50s, or the 50s and 60s and 70s. Not because it definitely was distractions, but now the distractions are so heightened. It's like kids now. I mean, a 12-year-old is like a freaking 17-year-old from just my era, if you will. And I'm only 50 years old. So I feel that relationships, 4-year relationships last longer because you're more like friends, if you will. You know, now you're able to compartmentalize sex. I believe sex has more of a bearing on the success of a relationship and the happiness of a relationship more so than anything else besides money. Money and sex is, so when you're able to stabilize yourself financially as a couple and you're able to compartmentalize sex, you know, to the point where you are able to now communicate with your significant others so much more open and loosely. I mean, what can't you guys share? What can't you guys get through? Friendships last way longer, mainly because they are not having sex. You know, that sex is not like, if you will, a thing, if you will, that they have to navigate through. So once you make your relationship with your significant other, once you get to that point where you can truly compartmentalize sex, my God, what you can, that's why Will and Jada, and I'm just a Tony, that's why I believe that they were able to make it to where they are today. Also, I'm going to bring up somebody in Dr. Rogers' era. If you guys remember Ozzy Davis and Ruby Davis, she did an article, a story or whatever with some individuals before she passed away, and they asked her the question, well, what can you attest to the success of y'all marriage being in Hollywood, the longest tenured married couple in Hollywood, over 50 years married? What do you guys attest to the success? And she said, well, it's not for everybody. I wouldn't say it's everybody, but they were involved in somewhat of a swingers type relationship.
So, Mr. X, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because earlier we do what's called the ancestral profile. It's a part of our opening ritual, and we did an ancestral profile on Ruby Davis. So, listeners, if you guys are listening on the internet, if you want to call in, our call-in number is 215-490-9832. Mr. X, before, you know, I know we're coming in on the last 30 minutes of our show, I do have a question. You did mention children, you know, and I guess having children in this day and era, would you be open to your children being into open relationships? I want to ask this question. If you have a daughter, would you be willing to see your daughter or your sister or your aunties, moms, you know?
100%.
100%? You got to explain that.
100%. I would not have any problem at all with either one of them being in a polyamory or a swinging relationship. Open relationship, I would talk against that. I'm just not a fan of open relationships or having threesomes and things of that nature with your significant other. I just believe that, you know, you should be in a situation whereas, you know, both of you guys are stomaching the same thing, if you will. Both of you guys are, you know, it's a fairness type situation, and not leaving yourself open to things that can happen in your relationship that can, you know, test or strain your trust. You don't want to bring anything in the relationship that can possibly second guess, you know, your loyalty or trust that you might have for your significant other. Now, the reason why I say I would 100% be okay with my sister, mom, aunt, daughter, niece, any one of them being involved in a lifestyle. One, because that lets me know a lot about the guy. You know, I believe that, you know, that my niece or my whomever, whatever female was speaking of in my family, it would let me know that she really is getting to know her man. That she really, and I'm sure her relationship will probably last for years to come. And it's something that I can, you know, talk to her about or give her, you know, advice about as well. But for a guy to be as real enough to actually, you know, talk to, you know, my female family member about the lifestyle that he is in, and he loved her that much that he really want to let her into it and really want to, you know, create a life with her of trust and openness and transparency. That means a lot to me, and, you know, so I'm totally for it.
So in your 18 years of this lifestyle, have you met any woman that you felt like, okay, I could give all this up for her?
No, because it's not, I don't see anything wrong with it. You understand? There's nothing.
Well, not wrong. Well, that you wanted to share, just, you know, like you could get her to, fulfill your appetite. So just
no,
one
I've
woman,
never,
you, and she was everything for you.
No, I've never met a woman that, because I didn't put myself in that situation. How could I possibly even know that she is all of that when I never really put myself in a situation? Once I see that she's not really with, you know, the lifestyle, if you will, I mean, I'm not going to waste her time. And why would I allow her to waste my time? So I wouldn't even know.
Oh, that's a great answer. Okay.
Okay.
And then how would you get involved into the clubs or, you know, get involved into the lifestyle?
Well, I mean, typically it's just by invite, you know, so, you know, you got to understand, you know, the clubs that I've been privy to go to has been definitely the elite, the, you know, individuals that the clubs are not advertised, if you will. Although you have plenty of clubs in every major city in the United States, even small cities. I mean, it's so common, you guys would be surprised. They even have the Black Swingers Association that literally will rent a Carnival cruise line ship that can hold 3,000 people, and that cruise line will be filled, you know, totally at capacity, and they have to rent another cruise line. You know, that's how huge the African American Swingers Association group is. But to get into the Swingers Lifestyle is, you know, you have SLS page, which is Swingers Lifestyle site, which is something like a Facebook for the Swingers Lifestyle, and what you would do is get a profile on there, you know, and when you start conversing with other couples, and, you know, you got a lot of affluent people that have pages on there, that's how they meet other couples, you know, and then you think, you know, they might invite you to a party here, or might invite you to a party there, and or invite you to a club. Say, we're all cooking up at this club, getting together at this club, And that's just how it goes. It's not, again, it's not all about sex at all. It's just some people just love being with good energy, great energy people, open people, honest people, you know, no judgment people, you know, and they just get a huge lift, if you will. It just makes puts you in a totally different place.
Okay, so I
want to
tell our listeners. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to tell our listeners. No, you got it, Maya. I just want to tell everybody, you know, Mr. X sounds kind of different because he's using a machine. He's actually a very important person located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we want to keep his identity private.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I just had a question. I know Lady V alluded to the fact when we were talking about it earlier in the show, that she, you know, she's kind of jealous, so she didn't think that it would be something that she would want to do with her partner. Are there any times where, you know, you may be in these parties or, you know, interacting with other couples and someone gets jealous?
That has happened before, of course, and that's why you perceive slow, you proceed with caution, you converse with the couples first, you know, maybe
okay.
In a hot tub, or maybe in a swimming pool, a natural conversation is, how long you guys been in lifestyle, what are some of you guys' experiences, blah, blah, because you can kind of tell then, and, you know,
okay. You
kind of just know how far it's going. Then you give them advice, you know, you never go into a lifestyle party without conversing with your significant other, like, listen, we're not going to be able to do this. I mean, no kissing in the mouth. You know, and you don't have to say about protection because I've never been to a party that didn't provide condoms. It's very, 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 very safe.
Okay.
Actually, it's safer to be involved in a situation, environment like that rather than being out here with just your commoners, your, you know, your loose single individuals. You know, that's another thing that you have to be concerned lost my train of thought for a second. With threesomes, yeah, we're doing threesomes with your significant other. You got to be careful with that because that's a single that's probably out there dealing with other people. But when you're in a single right. lifestyle, you got more poised, screener couples because they are, you're not just going to go unprotected. You know, you're going to just let your wife go unprotected with this other guy. Literally, it's more so than the whole openness, trust me. I mean, it's not, the sex is secondary, trust me.
Okay.
When you, I mean, you know, you want to really get to know your guy. You want your guy to really be to open up to you. And I remember, I'm sorry, I'm going to get off the subject for a second because I mentioned, I'm thinking about what I want to add. And one of you guys, one of you women talked about that your guy brought some up to you about, you know, having a threesome of some of that sort, but then he said he was playing or whatever. Did I hear correctly?
I think the hall pass.
Okay, same thing. Okay, I mean, in the same family. Okay, and what I would say is he was not playing. Let me tell you something. Every single guy will try at some point with his woman to see what he can share with her and what he can. And by how she responds, how hastily she responds, how she responds, hell no, I ain't gonna, you know, you ain't gonna be doing this. Enough. That right there would dictate what he will share with her in the future and what he won't share with her. And if a woman really wants to get to know her guy really well, remain poised, remain calm, remain, you know, receptive to whatever he's saying. Not saying agree, but just have him talk more about it. You know, have him elaborate more. You know, where he could kind of maybe think that you might be down or whatever, with whatever he's saying. And just watch how he ends up just really pouring out a lot to you. That's pretty much what happens in a swinger lifestyle. When you're able to open up as a man to your wife or to your girlfriend, that right there will help you as a woman get to know your man that much more. A guy will brag to another group of guys like, man, shit, I can tell my wife anything. I can tell my girl anything. She don't trip about this or that. Man, we cool as hell. Guys will brag on that. That tells me one of two things. Either one, the woman really know how to
Did we lose them? Oh, no. I hope we didn't lose them because I really wanted to know if there were fees associated with these clubs and stuff.
I wanted to ask him something. I know.
Oh, no. He'll probably call back in. Well, let's
use... I wanted to know more about that hall pass.
There
he
is. Hi.
Hello. I'm sorry. With the app I'm using, whenever someone tries to call me, it does that.
Okay. But we had a question for you. We want to know, are there fees associated with these clubs? You know,
definitely. The parties, the private parties, the house parties, typically is $30 individual woman, and or is $50 a couple. And and the clubs are pretty much the same. It's almost like one couple that I go to and they have probably some of the best parties I've ever been to, you know, and theirs are like maybe $100 a couple, still not bad at all for what they provide. You're talking about ice sculptures, you're talking about guys must wear jacket, women evening gown.
We should just take a tour. Can you put us on this list? We're gonna be a +4.
Right. It's not for everybody. I mean, you know, you're right, and there's no pressure at all. But what I will say is, is two types of swingers lifestyle experiences now. You have the experience that I've told you about, and I have a friend that hosts his own swingers club. He has probably about 200 members in his club. A majority of them are single people. And so he might rent a whole third floor of a hotel, and people pay, you know, their money. But sometimes he rented a whole entire hotel. You know, it's called a hotel takeover. And then you might have, you know, like I told you, I've been to one of these parties once or twice in 18 years. But then you might have guys that might be married to somebody, but he there, just, you know, messing off, you know, just getting his rocks off or whatever, then going home to his wife. And, you know, he might have a girl, his girlfriend on the side, he might take to those type of parties or whatever. You know, and that's not my thing. You know, the respect is not there. You know, it's just too, now you open yourself up to a lot of other foolishness when you involve yourself in environments like that. I'm more like a swinger that deals with the more married couple, affluent, suburbanites, or urbanites that's more progressive. I've been, you know, to parties where, you know, some politicians, you know, doctors, lawyers, you know, bank presidents, name it, you know, that was married, you know, but whole single piece, I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan of going to a party where guys can go by themselves, because, I mean, it's just not, nah. It lets me know a lot about how the party is when I see it. The invite has a price for guys. You know, like a guy is $75 just for the guy. Like, nah, that lets me know that, yeah, it's not my type of party.
So do you pay monthly fees or anything like that to be a part of that group to, you know, keep?
There's clubs you pay monthly. You pay monthly fees for access to the club, then you don't have to pay for the membership, you know, because, you know, at least two of the clubs I went to, literally they do a check to make sure you're not any type of in media, you know, part of the media, you know, you got to provide certain information with them, let them know that, you know, like I said, you're not going to blow the cover for a lot of the, you know, people that's there, you know. So there's monthly fees that you have to pay, and you have to renew, you know, once a year. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's, well, like a screening process for this. Like, you have to, because you just said, like, making sure that you're not in the media or anything. So y'all doing background checks and, like, medical history checks, right?
There are some that do medical history checks, but those are the ones that, you know, the people want to be unprotected and go wrong, you know, and they want to, you know, those are more the smaller groups. I've never been to a group there where I had to provide a medical history of any sort, no, but I have heard of them. You know, you have some groups that, I mean, cost a lot. I mean, I know of groups where it's like, you know, literally $500 a month, you know, for your membership, which I've never been anything of that nature. But, you know, and then, you know, you understand it has to be a fee, you know, because you have electricity, you have, you know, club, you know, the linens, you know, changing, people pay the person that does the laundry, and, you know, I mean, it's just expenses associated with running a lifestyle club.
Okay, well, we're going to go to our audience, our listeners, to see if they have any questions for you. Let's see, this number, Exchange 9332, calling from Plymouth, Wisconsin. Do you have any questions or comments for our guest today?
Yes, I was just kind of curious as to why individuals even get married or be in a long-time committed relationship if you're going to involve others into your bedroom. What are you getting out of it?
Like I said, you know, it's totally not for everybody, and both individuals must be on the same page. You know, it's not for everybody. It's totally not. I mean, so that's the first thing I said. It's not for everybody, and why would someone do that? You know, maybe the woman you know, might have never caught her man cheating, but she always had that inkling, like, I ain't caught this dude, but this is not adding up, you know. And sometimes, you know, she might, you know, open up conversations, you know, with him in terms of, listen, I'm not really sweating you about anything, but just certain things is not adding up with me. But, I mean, trust me, you can tell me anything, you can share anything with me. Just, I mean, I would rather you tell me than me find out some other kind of way. And then, you never know, he might open up, you know, maybe, you know, a guy, if you come to him like that, he might open up and say, well, listen, babe, I mean, I love you, I ain't trying to leave you, you know, but I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes I just want something different every now and then. It's like I'm, you know, may go outside maybe once a year, if that, you know, maybe once every other year. And then you might come, you know, some women might come back with, well, you know, I would rather be there. I mean, you give me an opportunity to accept whatever it is. Don't just, you never know what I might be want to do. I might want to, you know, I might get tired of your dick. Excuse my French. I might want something else. So you just never know. And then once you involve yourself into things of that nature physically, you never know what that will do in terms of opening up your dialogue for the future and how much closer it might take y'all. Or maybe you might say, well, listen, you could go and do that, but do it by yourself. I think we need to go in and part ways. You might answer it like that.
So basically, open communication.
I have a question for y'all, though.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I was just uplifting basically open communication on both parts. It has to be some then that both of them are willing. But Dr. Rogers wants to ask you something. We always get a historical viewpoint from him, but I'm going to let you go first and ask us a question really fast. Go ahead.
Okay. What percentage of you guys feel that men cheat or have sex with
you? Oh, everybody but Dr. Rogers.
Yes.
We learned that today.
I'm going to say 95%.
What about the rest of y'all?
I want to say probably at least 90%.
Okay, listen. Okay, if y'all said that, if y'all truly believe that, if y'all truly believe that 90% of men out here cheat, so y'all think y'all lucky enough, those of y'all that got a one man right now that's on this panel, do y'all honestly think y'all was lucky enough to get the 10%, one of the 10% of guys?
Oh, I know mine's been cheated.
Okay, so listen. So you say, so my thing is, if y'all believe 90% of y'all truly believe in y'all good, that 90% of men out here cheat, why not converse with your man enough and maybe get him to, you know, you be there again? If you believe that's true, if you believe that he is cheating, why not be a part? Or you just would rather him not. Just don't bring that shit around me. Just don't bring no disease. Just don't do. I think that's one of the most ignorant responses that a woman can give a man. That's giving him a hall pass in a sense. No, you want to get to know your man, get him to open up enough, tell him what, give him, you know, tell him to, you know, include you then. You know, let you, you ain't necessarily got to go against your morals and actually involve yourself with another female or involve yourself with another male, but at least let him know that, you know, like, you can talk to me. Don't just, you know, make my decision for me, you know?
Communication is important, but, you know, the ladies on this panel said we're going to that African country, that women can have more than one husband. But I'm just kidding. Dr. Rogers, you have a question for our guest?
I wanted to ask our guest. And Lady V, that's a real high number, 90%. Whoa, that's up there.
Everybody but you, Dr. Rogers. You didn't catch that, did you?
Right.
But anyway, I want to ask about the that emotional part again, because sometimes that dictates, you know, I mean, I think we can logically kind of explain why the process takes the format that it does. But I think at some point, if it doesn't work, it didn't work because of the emotional process. Am I correct in saying that? Is that that's what's going to control and dominate, you know, whether or not this is a successful thing at some point? And that's kind of the question I want to follow with. What about the...
Okay, I don't, I'm not sure if I all the way understand the question, but what I will say is, it's hard. It's very, very hard for you or your significant other to get emotionally involved with another couple or an individual within another couple. It's really hard because their significant other is right there as well. You know, that's why I say open relationships is not advantageous in my book. I do not advise, individuals to do an open relationship, and I do not advise couples to do threesomes. Okay. Unless the woman is like, no, even still, because I was about to say, unless the woman is like, I want to experience another woman, you know what I'm saying? But I'm cool with the penis that you got, but then I said no, because still that man might get the itch to call her and be doing something with that woman on the side, when you're not around. Okay. Which you don't want to open yourself up to stuff like that, so you definitely want to do it with other couples. But as far as emotionally, I think if anything, your emotional attachment and it's heightened with your mate. If anything, it's more heightened with your mate.
Yeah, what I'm thinking about something like this, because the sexual act is one of the most personal acts that we can do as human beings. For instance, you and your mate get into an argument about something trivial, just trivial stuff, and somehow or the other you're arguing, and then that conjures itself up in terms of the sound. You recall maybe that when you all were together, or when she was together with another person, and the emotion that she might have been showing, or he might have been showing during the act and process, even with you being there or they being there, that can get kind of violent, I would think, and it gets kind of hard to deal with and process mentally. I'm just talking the mental part. So that's
because
where,
okay.
That's where I was.
And that's pretty much what they stated earlier in terms of the jealousy. Have I ever been in an environment where somebody got jealous? And that's pretty much speaks to what you're saying there. I think if I'm with my wife and we are in the moment with another couple, and I hear my wife moaning like I ain't heard her moan before.
Right, right. There we go.
That's more of a turn on, if anything, because if you do involve another couple, you don't want the dude to be a lame. You don't want him to, get soft fast. You don't want him to, not be able to last. You want her to get, and then to the best. And then let me tell you something. After you do involve yourself with another couple, maybe the next 10 sessions that you and your mate have is going to be amazing sex. Because while you're having sex with her, you're going to be thinking about their whole, it's almost like a heroin addict. They try to search for that high again that he had the first time. I think that the high is just so heightened, that your sex is so, to me, I think you get more in love with your mate. I think you get more attached to her when you see something of that nature, when you hear something of that nature. I don't think that you really get a jealous feeling, like I said, unless you're doing an open relationship thing with that threesome thing. Because still, you got to understand, while you listening to and while you hearing your wife, be pleased by this other dude, mind you, you with that dude's wife.
Okay.
You with that okay. guy's wife.
So I have something to ask, because we haven't touched base on this, and I've heard that everybody cheats, but cheating is something that's only privileged to the people who are rich or who are well established. What would you say about that? I mean, do you think that your lifestyle, because you only mingle with the people who, you've named some, well, you haven't named anyone, but, the people that you're naming are high end. What would you think? Do you think that the average person would be able to live this lifestyle, or are you encouraging this? I don't want to say encouraging, but what would you say?
I'm definitely not encouraging the lifestyle, but I would say it's not like it's cheating. So it's not like, you know, the wealthy is okay for the wealthy to cheat, because in this lifestyle, it's not cheating. They're with their significant others. So regular individuals, regular working class people definitely can be in the lifestyle. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I just think that especially if you got a, if it's a married couple and they just working class individuals, you know, it just is about how you find out about, how you get in the in crowd. You know, that's more so what it's about, you know, how you even find out about, you know, the, those caliber of parties. But it is a really nice young professional group in a city, you know, nearby me, metropolitan city, that is a group of individuals that's in their 30s, married couples, all African-American, and they have parties at each other's house. It might be 10 of them, so 5 couples, and they are all, like, you know, high positions at banks. One is a principal. So these are all professionals, not wealthy, but you're talking about just working-class individuals. One dude is a garbage man, you know what I'm saying? But they're all working class, or working in sanitation. They're all different, so it's not so much of the money you have as much as the attitude and the maturity that you have.
So I'm going to open up the floor to this sister earlier who told us about the African country that allows women to have two husbands for procreation purposes. Sister, you still on the line? You still listening? Do you have any questions or comments for Mr. X? Exchange 1295. Do you have any questions or comments for Mr. X? I guess not. She doesn't. All right. Well, Dr. Rogers, do you have any other questions or comments? Because we are approaching the last moments of our show.
I just want to applaud all of you for your openness and your braveness to discuss a topic like this. I mean, it's important. It really is. And as I indicated, I come out of a generation that this would have been taboo completely across the board. And a lot of it had to do, which was interesting, had to do with the, based on the fact that during the times that I was raised and came up, coming up, it was religiously generated. And the black community was the black church kind of thing. And that was totally taboo in that environment, even though they may have been doing it behind closed doors, which they, most of them, a lot of them were. But still, it just publicly and openly would not have been discussed in this way. And
you're right.
And so and I, you're right. I appreciate and you're right. That. Yeah. I appreciate what y'all do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So.
And I appreciate you guys, too. I really appreciate you guys, you know, having this conversation, because I wouldn't have normally ever talked about this conversation in a public forum. So thank you for providing this whole this device I'm using. I thank you for that, and Dr. Rogers is definitely correct. It would have been taboo back then to talk about it more open, but everything is more open nowadays. They definitely did it back then. They definitely, without a doubt, did it, but it would never, ever was talked about in an open forum.
Yes, that's
right. Any other last minute remarks, Mr. X, that you would like to tell our audience, you know, people who are actually thinking about going into the lifestyle, any advice for these people or couples?
Just communication. Communicate with your spouse. You know, be real, open to whatever he or she might say. Don't, you know, respond hastily when they bring things to you, because you never know. Every guy in my opinion, most guys would definitely jokingly say things that he really, really means, have the response he'll get. So just if you really want, you know, because every guy is going to try to open up to his mate and let her know, you know, his real, truly, true wants and desires and things of that nature. But it's up to you to see how much he'll share with you by your response. So just communicate with your significant other, you know, to see if that's definitely what you guys want to do. Have barriers, guidelines, and if you guys do decide to go, have guidelines on what you will share, what you won't share, what you will do, won't do, because you don't want to train wreck, you know, while you're in the party. You don't want that. You don't want to, you know, like, no.
Ashe. And we do want to connect with you. Is it okay for us to connect with you so we can, when we're in the Charlotte area, go to one of those clubs with you? Because, you know, my us ladies from After 7, we want to see what it's about. I mean, I'm just saying. We can go two at a time. We don't all have to go at once, you know.
All y'all need to go at once.
Shannon, bad girl, Shannon.
Of course.
All right, Maya Marie, do you have any last-minute remarks for our audience or our guests?
I just want to say it's been definitely interesting. I'm glad that we had this conversation. Lady B, I'm glad you came up with this topic. And to Mr. X, thank you for being our guest tonight. You're an awesome guest. You definitely educated us and enlightened us on this topic, because I had no clue, you know, the different levels and the different types of relationships that you spoke about tonight. So I definitely want to say thank you. Thank you for being open and for sharing with us, because I know it is a very personal and private topic. So I just want to thank you for being here tonight, sharing with us, and enlightening us on, you know, that lifestyle and what it's like.
Without a doubt. You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Tavy, what about you?
Okay. Namaya just took everything from me. But thank you. It was everything. I appreciate it so much. And I'm sure our audience
all right.
As well. All right. Lady B. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. X.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, you know, just again, thanks for having me. And I hope that I you know, educated or informed, I should say, you guys on you know, just taught you guys a little bit more about, you know, this whole lifestyle. And it's not all bad. It's really, to be honest with you, it's nothing bad about it at all, or I wouldn't do it. But I would like to think I have a really good spirit, and I've been trained well by my mama, you know, so thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
And Lady V, did you have any last minute remarks or comments for our guest today?
I guess just thank you, and you did open my eyes. I guess I would have to, you know, go back to the drawing board, and we may have to talk about this little hall pass to see if he was really joking or not, because now I want to know. But I thank you for educating and informing us on this. We may have to do a part two on this. I'm sorry, guys. We just may have to do a part two with Mr. X if he's willing, just because I feel like there's still some questions that we may have.
I know. I feel like we only scratched the surface with everything, but I do appreciate you. Thank you so much for sharing your lifestyle with us. Thank you so much for being a part of our panel and, you know, being open and honest about everything that, you know, goes on, and just enlightening us on this world that I personally never knew anything about. I honestly would have never picked this topic, but I'm glad we did, because that's what we're here for. We're here to educate, and we're here to talk about things that, you know, are impacting our generation. So with that said, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for joining. And thank you again, Mr. X. Bye, everybody.
Oh, he riding clean, too.
Drop a dime on that. I don't like that.
Let's take some calls from the request line. Caller number one.
Hey, man, what's up? This is Dominique from Shady Nose Trailer Park.
What's up, Dominique?
I want to hear that song from Lil Chad and P. Pablo.
All right, I got that coming right up for you. Now, shout out the radio station that gave you what you wanted.
W Boom Boom B, baby.
What you doing from the front? What you doing from the back?
Thick and what you get, she'll worship.
what it do. Make a name for herself, and she do it well. I know how to keep a bitch and keep herself. Come over anytime, call shit. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and she right there, right there. And she know why she came here, and she know where her clothes about to be.
Off and over there.
Look, the Lord. A little bit. I need a girl I can freak with. The way I try, and ain't scared of a love to get a body, cause I ain't drunk enough to do that. Shamika, Keisha, Tara, Shana, Sabrina, Crystal, Miranda, Rita, Felicia, Tanisha, Siobhan, Monique, Christina, Yolanda. I need to know a whole lot. Take her to on my own ease, so I don't have to do that for her. I'm spoiled.
And now I like to work it out.
I like to lay back, relax, and enjoy my time. With my eyes roll back and my toes curl.
I love when you do that, girl.
Till it comes time for me to have to get her hers. Tell me what you want. Do you want it with your feet crammed to the... Do you want it with your face in the pillow so you can yell as loud as you want to? On the floor, do you want it on the chair? Do you want it over here? Do you want it over there? Do you want it in your... Do you want it in your...
I can get
anything you can handle.